not having the best of mornings, so you may have to bear with me during the sermon. I'm forgetting many, many things. I forgot the check for contribution this morning. I forgot that I was supposed to wait on the table this morning. But I did bring my sermon. This is the third in a series called We're Not in Kansas Anymore. Of course, referring to Dorothy's words when she finds herself in a totally new land, completely unlike where she came from. That was kind of the introduction to this series of lessons about how our culture has changed so drastically. We use the reference in the Bible, Acts chapter 2. We know that circumstance and that situation where Peter and the other apostles stand up and they give that first full gospel message to a group of people who were steeped in religion, who knew about Jehovah God, who knew about creation, who knew about who God was and what He had done for them in the past. They knew about redemption. They knew about the coming of a Messiah. They knew about a future time beyond this world. So Peter could start where he started. But then we move to Acts 17, where we have Paul in Athens preaching and teaching to a totally different group of people. These people had no idea who Jehovah was. They worshipped all kinds of different gods and idols. They had no idea about a Messiah. They had no idea about Jesus or about who Jehovah was. They knew nothing about this. And so Paul said that basically he wasn't in Kansas anymore. He wasn't in Jerusalem anymore. So it would not have done Paul any good whatsoever to preach the same sermon that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. He would have lost his entire crowd. So what did he have to do? He had to start at a different point. And so this is so much like we find ourselves today. We are not teaching and preaching to people in the 1950s. In the 1950s and the 1960s, when I was growing up, early 70s, most everybody I knew believed in the God of the Bible. They believed in the Bible. They believed it was God's Word. They believed that Jesus was God's Son. They believed that they had an eternal soul. They believed in heaven and hell. And so we could start with them just where Peter started. But now the people today are just like those in Athens. People today do not have any idea who Jehovah is. They have no idea about the Messiah. They have no idea about who Jesus really is or what He taught. Many of them don't believe in God. They don't believe in God's Word. They don't believe in a heaven or hell. So we have to be more like Paul than Peter with many of the people we come in contact with. If we want to teach them the truth of the Bible, we have to start where Paul started. 2 weeks ago, we said the first thing was we have to have the proper attitude. We have to understand who these people are. We have to, like Paul, see themselves worshiping or see people worshiping all kinds of idols. And it needs to stir us up. It needs to provoke us just like it provoked Paul. So we need to have that exact same type of attitude that Paul had. We also need to realize that these people, for the most part, have no idea about who Jehovah is. So the second thing was we have to know the culture. Since there are so many different religions and denominations and faiths and cults and everything else today, it is very important for us to study what people believe. And that was the second point. If we're going to really engage with them and really talk with them and make it effective, we have to know about what they believe. And just like Paul, he used their objects of worship to transition into talking about Jehovah. That's what we need to do. So we have to have a knowledge of their culture. And the third thing, where we started last week, was We need to have a commitment to the truth, a commitment to the true God. We have to know where people are spiritually and start there. We must not assume that the majority of the people know anything at all about Jehovah. Nothing. So the first thing we talked about last week about knowing God was that Paul stressed that the God he was telling them about was the one that had created the world and everything in it. Back in our text, Acts chapter 17. Verse 24, Paul said to them, God, this is the one he's telling them about, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. So there was what he had to tell them first. The God he is talking to them about is the one that created the world. He's the true God. He does not live in physical temples. He doesn't have to. God is everywhere. He knows where everything is. He knows where everybody is. He knows what everybody is thinking and saying and doing. Why? Because he created them. So emphasizing to people that they were created, we'll talk about more about that in a minute, but that God created this world and created all life is essential. Now, it is totally a waste of time, to tell people about Jesus Christ and about church and worship if they don't believe in creation. You're wasting your time. You must first, just like Paul did, we need to follow his example. We have to tell them about God first if they don't know God. If they don't know that he created the world and brought this universe into existence and created man from the dust of the earth and created all the animals, if they don't believe that, do not go into the New Testament and tell them about the Church of Christ. You are just digging yourself a big hole. Follow what Paul did. Tell them about Jehovah, that he is the creator of the world. People need to hear that. The second thing Paul tells them, verse 25, he says, this Jehovah is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. The second thing Paul told them was the God he's telling them about is the God that gives them life, that gives them food, gives them sustenance, gives them whatever they need to sustain life. In other words, it comes from God. We must convince them and show them and tell them the evidence why that is the case. Remember what the Athenians would do? The Athenians would take food and all kinds of things to their idols and statues because they thought their idols and gods needed it. In other words, they were sustaining their idols. Paul said, The real God doesn't need your food because he's providing you with what you need. 1 Timothy 6:17 says that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So Jehovah doesn't need food. We don't feed Jehovah. We don't sustain Jehovah. We don't give Jehovah life. That's what he does for us. And see, it's that viewpoint of who God is that was vastly different in Athens, and that's what we have to convince people of today as well. Not only did God create the world and everything in it, but he's what keeps the world going. And that's how the world will end. He won't keep it going anymore. That'll be the end of it. So whenever he says that time comes, that time comes. It won't be some natural consequence of how the universe is running. It'll be God decides when he's going to shut it down. And when he shuts it down, it's shut down. Why? Because he's the one that sustains everything. He's the one that's keeping it going. Not idols or gods or anything else. Back in Psalm 50, the psalmist writes this, and this is a great passage to look at, about the difference between God and all these other so-called gods.
Psalm 50, we'll begin in verse 7. Psalm 50, verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I'll speak. O Israel, and I'll testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Jehovah says, I don't need your food, your sacrifices, your offerings. Why? Because everything in the world belongs to me. I created it. I gave it life. I keep it going. It's all mine. I don't need your sacrifices. So if you're in Athens and you've been worshiping all these idols and statues and you bring them food and drink every day, Paul is telling you you're worshiping the wrong God. Because the real God doesn't need those things because He owns everything. He gives them to you. You don't give them to Him. Now, people in the world need to hear that. They need to hear this. It's a very important point for people in our world. They need to hear that this world isn't just a great big accident. They need to hear that. They need to know that there's a personal God who's concerned about them, who cares for them, to the point that He's sustaining the world. See, they need to hear about that. The people in Athens need to hear about it, so that's why Paul tells them. This is the real God. He created it all. He owns it all. He keeps it all going. And He gives everything life. Paul says, that's the God I'm telling you about. That's the God we need to tell the world about. Because the vast majority of the world does not know Jehovah. They don't. They have no idea who He is. So therefore, it is our responsibility, our obligation to tell the people about the only true God. The only one. He's not one amongst many, as some religions teach. He's the only one. That's the second thing we need to tell them about God. The third thing is found in verses 26 and 27 of our text. He says, and He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. There's the third thing that Paul says to the Athenians that we need to tell people, and that God is the one that rules the world. These various idols and statues, so forth, they don't rule the world. So we need to tell people who really rules the world. The first thing he mentions in that verse is that God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Paul says all men trace their ancestry back to Adam, not to some ape-like creature in Africa. We must convince people of that. We must do it. Unfortunately, I hear people in the Lord's church saying that we shouldn't even talk about those type of things. They're not important. They're absolutely foundational to people's salvation. Absolutely foundational. Jesus taught it and believed it. We must do the same thing. We must tell people these things, teach people these things, because it's so important. It makes a difference to people in how they behave based on where they believe they came from. You tell somebody that they came from some creature that didn't have a soul or spirit or anything else, is just an animal, and that's how they're going to act. We should not expect people to act any different than their beliefs. Should we? Should we expect anybody to act differently than their belief? No, we couldn't. We shouldn't. We shouldn't be surprised when people kill each other, when they commit rape, anything like that, if they believe that they're an animal and the people they're killing are animals. That should not surprise us. Matter of fact, we should expect it. That's how we should expect people to act if that's what they believe. That's why we must teach and persuade, just like Paul's doing, that they are not animals. They didn't descend from animals. They have very little in common with animals. Because if they don't understand they're unique in the world, that they have an eternal soul and an eternal spirit that will live somewhere forever, then they're going to behave just like any other animal or living thing. That's why this is so important, and that's why Paul told them this. He says, everybody in the world came from one blood. And it was God, he says, that did that. Didn't happen by chance or by accident. He says, God made everybody to come from one blood. And what an amazing thing that was for him to say. Amazing thing for him to say. You mean everybody came from one blood? Yeah, they all came from Adam. So do people have to believe in Adam and Eve today? Absolutely. That's a foundational belief. And again, when I was growing up, everybody did believe that. But they sure don't anymore. So we're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in Jerusalem anymore. We're in Athens. We're in Athens where people don't believe in God, don't believe in any of those things. So therefore, just like Paul did, we must teach and persuade them, reason with them. And that's why it's so important for us to be able to do that, just like Paul was doing. He said, from every race of mankind came from Adam. And it's God, it's Jehovah, that determines the rise and fall of nations. He made that very clear. He said that he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. It says God has done that. What's he telling them, and what do we need to tell people today? Jehovah is in control. See, the vast majority of the people in the world do not believe that. They believe the world's just going on, and God had nothing to do with it, if they believe in God, and that everything is just by chance. That's what the majority of the people in the world believe. We must do our very best to persuade them that's not true. That God is the one that rules in the lives of people. That he's the one that's in control. The Bible talks about that many, many times. I wish we had time to look at all the verses that talk about how Jehovah's in control. Remember, Daniel, in one of his interpretations of the dream, says that God is the one that rises up kings and brings kings down. Who does it? Jehovah. So he's the one that's truly in control. And Paul said that it's his desire they should seek the Lord, in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Man is to seek God. Now, this is a logical conclusion. Paul's arguments here are very logical and very reasonable. He doesn't base what he's saying on emotion. And that's something else we need to be very careful about when we're talking to people, is that we don't base what we're telling them on emotion. That's not what Paul's doing. He's using reason and logic. He's reasoning with people. He's persuading people based on evidence that these things are true. And that's what he's doing. He wants them to seek God. So Paul said, God created the world and sustains the world and rules the world in order that, this is what he hopes people will do,
seek God. That's the conclusion. That's what he wants. It's for us to seek God. And again, something that throughout the Bible is reinforced over and over again is that God wants us to seek him. He says that they might grope for him and find him. The people Paul's addressing in Athens, they were philosophers. They were people who were hearing all different kinds of religions and faiths and ideas and so forth. But they were searching for truth just like many people today search for truth, by human reason alone, and you cannot find it that way. You have to use human reason, but human reason by itself will never get you to truth. Because God has revealed himself in Scripture. So people who are trying to find truth, Paul says, by themselves, are like people who are blindfolded and they're just groping and trying to find it. They're not going to. Like groping in the dark. They cannot find truth that way. They cannot find the true God that way. He's revealed himself in Scripture. And the Bible says we can only know him if we keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments. No one can say they know God unless they keep his commandments. Here's what Paul wants them to do. He's tried to convince them and persuade them, reason with them, that God created the God, this unknown God, that he created everything, including them. Including them. That he keeps this world going. He and he alone keeps the world going. He sustains life, gives life to everything. He doesn't need anything from them to sustain life because he's the one that sustains them. Everything belongs to him. And he's the one that rules the world. He's the one that's in control. And that all the people in the world, God made from Adam or came through Adam. And he's trying to convince them of all of that so that they would end up seeking him, the one true God, and not all of these false gods and idols. Because he wants everybody to seek him and find him, know him, and obey him. And what a marvelous example Paul has left for us, exactly what we need to do in our world today. You mean there aren't any people that still believe in God and Jesus? Oh, sure there are. There's lots of them. But that number is very small percentage-wise compared to what it used to be. So therefore, you and I, if we're going to engage our culture, if we're going to be effective in reaching our culture, our nation, our society, we must be prepared, just like Paul, to persuade and reason with people. Not that Jesus is the Son of God. Not that there's one church. Not that salvation is through Christ. No, we have to first convince them that this world is not an accident, that God created it, just like the Bible says. And it's He, it's Jehovah, that's the one true God. That's where we have to start with a large number of people. And if we're not prepared to do that, we need to get prepared. Because it's our responsibility. It's not the world's responsibility because they don't know. We're blessed and fortunate enough to know what the Bible says. We know it's God's Word. And therefore, we must tell the world about the one true God, the great I Am, the only eternal one. And it's our hope, just like it was Paul's, that they would come to know God, they would seek Him, they would come to know God and obey Him. That's what we must do. That's right, we're not in Kansas anymore. Therefore, we have a greater responsibility now to tell the world about God. this morning we have talked about the one true God and how absolutely essential it is for us to know Him, find Him, and obey Him. It's not enough to know Him, but the end result is obeying Him, following Him. And this morning, I hope that there's someone that's ready to maybe put Christ on in baptism, or maybe who has already done that and needs the prayers of the congregation. Then this morning is the time to do that. And we encourage you to do that as David leads us in this song. Let us stand, please.